Well, if you turn with us tonight to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, and I don't know if you're sound, man, if you can give me a little extra volume, it'll help me out tonight, and just got a little bit of a croup there. Galatians, chapter number 6, and I will say I appreciate the Word of God that's already been preached tonight, and thank God for Brother Joe. Appreciate his ministry and his faithfulness to the Word of God. And all the good singing tonight. I thank God for your pastor and for this church and for what this meeting represents. And I do want to say thank you for the nice room. And I'd also like to say thank you for the wonderful food. Amen. And you can't beat country cooking. Isn't that right? And thank God for old-fashioned cooking. So I've enjoyed the fellowship and everything tonight. And I just want to thank the Lord for that. If you'll look with us here in Galatians chapter number 6. And if you'll stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, if you're able. If you're not physically able, that's all right. But we'll look here in verse number 12 tonight, Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would touch us physically and spiritually. I pray that you'd give us the wisdom to say what you would have us to say tonight. I ask you to speak to every heart and do the work that no man can do. I pray, God, that you would give us listening ears. And God, may we receive a meekness, the engrafted word. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you would bless the reading of thy word. And I pray that you would, Lord, move in a mighty way. Bless the invitation. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice with me in this passage of Scripture tonight, that Paul gives both a warning in verses 12 and 13, and then he gives a witness in verse number 14. And when we think about this text tonight, Paul is really dealing with their focus versus his focus tonight. And I preached last night on the marks of a man of God, and I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on the focus of a man of God. What the man of God focuses on. And Paul talks about another crowd in verse number 12 and verse number 13. We see this crowd as he talks about the focus of many. As he says, as many desire. And when we think about this crowd here, and we think about their focus, he talks about their flesh. As he says that as many desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Amen. There are those tonight that's only interested in you and I seeing them. Amen. And so he talks about their flesh. Then he talks about their fight. He said they constrain you to be circumcised. In other words, they want to control others. They want to put their thumb on others. And because it's all about them, so everyone else has to be about them. So we see their flesh and we see their fight. And then we see their fear. They said only unless they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So in other words, this crowd that's all about themselves don't want to have to go through any trials. They don't want to have to suffer any persecution. They're all about magnifying themselves. Amen. That's the focus of many here. We see their fear. And then we see their failure. Notice what he said in verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. So in other words, they're wanting to put a yoke on everybody else. They're wanting to control everybody else. But the problem is they're not living up to their own standard. Amen. You see, that's the problem. Whenever we make things about us rather than Him, is we can't live up to our standard, let alone His standard. Amen. And so we see here the focus of these many here. And then we find he closes about talking about them in verse 13 about what their real focus is, that they may glory in your flesh. You see, the flesh tonight will always glory in the flesh. This crowd is all about presentation. In verse number 12, as he said, as many desire to make a fair show in the flesh. So they're all about presentation. You ever met people like that? They're all about presentation. And then they're all about pressure. They can strain you to be circumcised. I mean, there's some people, listen, they want to pressure others in their way. They're all about pressure. They're all about pleasure. They don't want a cross. They don't want persecution. We don't invite it tonight, but we know that the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You live for God, you're not going to be popular in this world. And this crowd's all about pleasure. They're all about pretense, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they want you to think they've got it all together. They want you to think that they're following every command. I mean, to hear them testify, to hear them preach, to hear them speak, you would think that they never did no wrong whatsoever. They're all about pretense. And then they're all about promotion, that they may glory in your flesh. You know, there are some people tonight that will use you to bring glory to them. Amen. I mean, there are some people that go to church tonight. Church really isn't about worshiping God. It's about you seeing them. There are some men tonight, I don't think there's anybody here like that, but you've met them, amen. When they get up to preach, the sermon's all about them. I mean, they're the hero of every story. I mean, they're the center of every illustration. Nothing wrong with using personal illustrations, but I like Bible illustrations and I like historical illustrations. You know why? Because you can't lie about those. Amen. You can't embellish those stories because we can check them out. We've read them. We've already know what they are. But things like that crowd that likes to glory, amen, they like to promote themselves. That's not the focus of a real man of God. We see the focus of many, but when we get to verse number 14 tonight, I want you to notice a few things in this verse about the focus of a real man of God. And in this, I want you to see, number one, what is prohibited in his life. He said, but God forbid that I should glory. You know, that's a good statement tonight. In a day when there's a lot of singers that glory, there's a lot of preachers that want glory. Hey, there's a lot of people that are members of churches. I mean, if it's their birthday or anniversary, y'all know that. And their name's not the church bulletin. I mean, this couple wouldn't have got mad one bit. But there's some people, if their anniversary was yesterday and the preacher forgot it, they wouldn't have been here tonight. They'd have been at the house soaking and sullen and mad. Amen. I'm telling you, there's some people, as long as you can make it about them, they're happy. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, a real man of God, he's not about himself. He's not about you seeing him. God forbid he should glory. That's what's prohibited in our life. And it's prohibited in this passage of Scripture, in this phrase. It's prohibited by our Maker. Paul says here, God forbid. You know why we shouldn't glory in ourselves tonight? Because it don't please God. Amen. It dishonors God when we take the crown off Jesus' head and we put it on our head. When we take the spotlight off of Him and we put it on ourselves. I don't know who made this statement. You may know who made this statement, but I read a statement sometime this past year that said this, that we are to live our life in a way that people will forget us and remember Christ. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you are not gaining anything if you walk out of here and remember me, but I'll tell you if you'll remember Him tonight. I have that water over there. I smoked a cigarette before I came tonight. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding, okay? I just say that to wake a few people up. I got to preach in a different gear tonight, amen. I got the crew, but But you know, tonight, when we think about glory, God forbid. The judgment seat, the Bible says, is going to try every work of what sort it is. That means tonight, just because I'm preaching a sermon, that don't mean that's a good work tonight. Just because they sang them songs. Oh, if they'll at the judgment seat, these works tonight, these are good works. But when they're put in the fire, the fire's going to try what sort. In other words, what was my motive in preaching this sermon tonight? If preaching this sermon was to get glory for me tonight, it'll burn up at the judgment seat. What's prohibited, God said there's one thing that no Christian should ever do and will do, and that's glory in the flesh tonight. It's prohibited by our Maker, and then it ought to be prohibited by me tonight. Look at that statement again. Paul says this. He said, but God forbid that I should glory. You know what Paul does in this little phrase here? He takes sides with God against himself when it comes to the flesh trying to get glory. Amen. He said, God doesn't want me to glory. And Paul said, I want you to know I'm on the same side God's on. God forbid that I should glory. I don't want to do anything that draws attention to myself. This is what is prohibited in his life. And a real man of God will not focus on himself. He will not focus on getting glory. He'll focus on the God of glory tonight. It's what's prohibited in his life. Secondly, I want you to see what is precious in his life. Paul said, but God forbid I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I should never glory except in one avenue, in one area. There's one place tonight that Paul said, I've got free reins to glory in. There's one thing tonight that I can shout about. I can sing about it. I can brag about it. I can testify about it. I can write about it. I can talk about it. I can just glory in it. You say, what is that? It's in the cross and it's in Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, I can't glory in me tonight, but I can glory in Him. I can brag on Him. I can thank God for Him. I can shout about Him. I can't sing about me, but I can sing about Him tonight. You know, there's some songs, if you really listen to them, they're more about us than they are about Him. Can I just use one? And if y'all sing it, don't get mad at me. Go ahead and sing it if you want to. But there's a song, I hear it, and is this being on the internet? Okay. Well, I want it to be anyway. I'm not against, I am against it. I've heard this song so many times, and I'm sure whoever wrote it, they got it. I'm not saying that that's how they felt about it. But I sit there and I hear this song sometimes, and it says, I was in a valley. I was sinking low. I had slipped and fallen. I had missed the goal. I'm not against it. Well, I am against it, I reckon. Just so much I. Do y'all sing that? Okay. Not now. People sing that, they mean it. When they do, Brother Joe, I say amen with them. It just always gets me in this generation, if we're not careful, we'll make it all about us. And I'm not being critical of that song. I'm telling you, preaching sometimes, I've went home. I said, too much me in that sermon. You ever said that? Too much I. I didn't really mean for it, but I tell you, it kind of spilled over. I'm telling you tonight, what ought to be precious in our life is the cross. Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'll tell you, preaching the cross will draw men. Amen. Preaching the cross will encourage the saints. I know we got to preach the whole council. I know we got to preach against sin. I'm not saying we don't preach against sin, but what I'm saying is that we do have an area. You know, when you get up to testify, make sure You know, to testify means to glorify. It means to magnify. Every person that testifies ought to ask themselves, what am I magnifying in my testimony? Y'all been in a good service, a good testimony service when God was moving, people were testifying, and it was getting, just getting a blessing. Everybody's getting a blessing, and God bless their souls. There's always that one person. Y'all know, you know what I'm talking about. And the only people getting mad right now is that one person I'm about to talk about. They can't testify their way out of a wet paper bag. I'm telling you. Let's just be frank about it. Now, we love them. We don't like to mention it, but somebody's got to talk about it. Amen. And they'll get up and testify. And I'm telling you, the second they stand up, they mean well. But the second they stand up, the service just went in the tank. Is that right? I mean, it's over, Rover. You know it. Amen. Sometimes people brag on themselves too much. Sometimes they brag on the devil. And they'll get up and talk 5 minutes about how bad of a week they've had, how the devil's just rode them roughshod. I mean, they'll praise the devil for 5 minutes, and then on their way down to their seat, they'll say, oh, but I want everybody to know I do love the Lord. We don't believe that for 1 second. I tell them, and listen, you may not like this, but if you don't, just open your mouth wide and swallow it, don't you, man? But I tell them in our church, I say, now listen, if you're depressed, and our people, I love them, they do a good job, but I say, if you're depressed, don't get up and testify right now. We're having a good service. You need this good service. If you're just depressed, you just go ahead and sit there and take it in, amen? But if you've had a bad day, we don't want to hear about it, amen? Listen, if cucumbers are on sale down at Walmart, that's all fine and good. That's not a testimony. Don't tell us about that. Is that right? Don't tell us about what you read in the paper this week. Tell us about what you read in the Bible. Amen. We don't want to hear about your horoscope. Amen. We don't want to hear about none of that mess. Amen. I mean, you say, well, preacher, I'm just really down. If you're down, stay down. Amen. Don't pull the rest of us down. Let us have a good church service. Amen. I mean, we might as well just be honest about it. If you're one of those people and you say, well, I don't know if that's me. Well, look around when you're testifying. If 25 people got their heads bowed, it's not time to pray, but it is time for you to quit talking. Can I get an amen? Amen. Say, preacher, why do you say? Because I'm telling you, you pastor Baptists long enough, you love them, but God bless their soul. Don't kill a good church service. Learn how to testify. Get up and brag on Jesus. I mean, get up and quote a verse of Scripture and say, I'm glad I'm saved. And if you have a hard time testifying, just get up and testify and say, I'm glad I'm saved. Quote a verse of Scripture and sit down. Amen. That'll be a blessing to somebody. But glorify God. I mean, if you've been washed in the blood, saved by grace, passed from death unto life, surely you can talk about Jesus for 2 minutes. Amen. Surely you can talk about the goodness of God without talking about yourself, without talking about your trials, without talking about the tempter. Amen. I'm telling you, everything Job went through in chapter 1, Job never bragged on the devil. He got out of those ashes and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He silenced the devil because he gave him no credit whatsoever. What's precious in our life? What's precious in your life? I'm talking about real men of God, real people of God. Listen, they don't glory in themselves, but they glory in the cross of Christ. Amen. And so now see here, what is precious in his life? What is prohibited in his life? Don't you notice what's proclaimed in his life? He said, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Paul was dead to the world. Paul was done with the world. The world was dead to Paul. the world was done with Paul. The world was distant from Paul. Paul goes from self-glorification to self-crucifixion in this verse here. And I want to say tonight, if you and I, if we do not crucify the flesh, we will honor the flesh. And to honor the flesh is to dishonor God. Amen. And you and I have a responsibility tonight to surrender our life to Him and to crucify the flesh. See, Paul had the right focus because Paul died to this world. What was proclaimed in Paul's life is that the world is crucified unto me. Paul, in this passage, gave the world up before the world gave Paul up. Hey, listen to me tonight, Christian. You want God to bless your life? Then you need to die to this world. Amen. This world needs to be dead to you tonight. That means the world's music needs to be dead to you. Amen. I don't care if it's country music. I don't care if it's rock music. I don't care. Listen, I don't care if it's any kind of rap music. I don't care what kind of worldly music you listen to tonight. But the world's music needs to be dead to you. Hey, the world's fashion needs to be dead to you. The world's theology. That means you don't dress like the world. Amen. You don't look like the world. That means you don't strip off like the world. Amen. Clothes were made to conceal, not reveal. Is that right? That was the purpose of clothing. Amen. It was to hide the flesh, not reveal the flesh. There's nothing good about the flesh tonight. Amen. And when you're dead to this world, you believe in decency and modesty and respect. Amen. You don't dress like the world. You don't look like the world. You don't live like the world. Christians don't drink alcohol. Amen. We live in a day when people want to say you can be a Christian and drink alcohol tonight. I'm telling you, hey, you got to be dead to those things. There's some places that tonight you and I could go to, and it may not be sin in and of itself, but I'm going to tell you something, it's not the coming of a Christian. Amen. If somebody was to see me and you in certain places tonight, maybe I'm not doing wrong. Maybe I'm not committing a sin where I'm at. But if you was to see me there, it might put a question mark on my life. It might put a question mark on my dedication and service to God. You say, well, you're not serving man. No, but I've got a responsibility to God first, and I have a responsibility to man. I'm telling you, listen, we owe man the gospel, and we cannot give the man the gospel if we live like man lives. We'll lose our influence. Amen. And so we have a responsibility tonight that we must die to this world. If you want to live in victory, if you want to have power with God, if you want to live the Spirit-filled life, if you want to get out of the wilderness and get across Jordan into Canaan, somewhere along this life, you're going to have to be dead to this world. Amen. You got to die to them. In my flesh tonight, you know, preacher, it's been 35 years, 35, 37 years since I took a dip of Copenhagen, 37 years. But I know exactly after 37 years, right now I'm talking to you, I can taste it. I can taste it in my mouth right now. 37 years later. You say, well, how can you? That's the flesh. The flesh never forgets. My flesh knows what that tastes like tonight as much as it ever did. It knows what Levi Garrett tastes like. It knows what a plug of tobacco tastes like tonight as much as it did 37 years ago. Hey, it knows those lyrics to those songs that I used to listen to 37 years ago. It knows them. It remembers them. That flesh does not forget tonight. I'm telling you, if you don't crucify, and if I don't crucify that flesh, it's just as hungry tonight for the things of this world as it was 37 years ago. And if I was to give it free reins tonight, listen, like a wild animal, it would just go out of control doing the things that the flesh likes to do. But tonight you've got to reckon the flesh dead. Amen. You got to crucify it. You got to put it on the cross. You got to die daily. I wonder tonight, maybe there's somebody here and you're saved and you love God, but you've never crucified the flesh when it comes to your wardrobe. You still get mad when a preacher preaches about dressing right. You're saved, but you don't like for a preacher to tell you that. You ought to get on this altar tonight and crucify. Get right with God about modesty. Maybe you're here tonight and you got something in your life. You know, when I was 15 years old, I'll tell you what was in my life. I've been saved 2 years. And my parents didn't go to church. But I remember this just like it was yesterday. I lived for baseball. And I loved baseball cards. And I loved to collect them. And I mean, every day of my life, my life was, as a teenage boy, was engulfed with baseball cards. I'm not telling you tonight that if you have baseball cards, you're not right. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm telling you, for me, I loved them so much. I remember one day the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I was sitting there in my room, and I had those cards laid out on a coffee table. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. This is what He said to me. He said, "If you love that, or you love them more than you love me." And He said, "If you'll give those up, I'll bless you." Amen. Well, I didn't know, Brother Rutledge, I didn't know really what to do with all that. But I remember after about a day or two, I put them in a box and I took them down, shoebox, took them down to my friend. We traded baseball cards all the time. And I gave them to him. I said, "You can have every one of them." And he didn't understand that at the time. And I didn't try to explain him, because, be honest with you, I didn't understand it all myself at that time. But I said, "You can just have them all." It became such an idol in my life. Right. I'm going to tell you, about 6 months later, God called me to preach. And I know tonight, I didn't know that day, but I know tonight, Brother Ellis, that was a pivotal point in my life. If I would have, I'm not telling you you can't have them, but I'm telling you I cannot after all these years. Do you know tonight, if I could have them, I would have them tonight. But they're dead to me tonight. There's things in our life, they may not be sin in and of themselves, but we have to die to them if we're going to be what God wants. They'll cause you to lose focus in life. And what is prohibited and what is precious. And then we see what is proclaimed in Paul's life. Have you died to anything in your Christian life? Then I want you to notice what is principal in his life. Paul said, "By whom the world is crucified unto me." But here's the big deal. Here's the principal. "And I unto the world." Paul said, "This world, I'm dead to this world." But he said, "I want you to know, here's my principle." He said, "The world is dead to me tonight too." Yeah. Are you dead to this world? You know, you can tote a King James Bible, go to an independent Baptist church, know every song in that hymn book, and still be worldly tonight. You can wear a long dress, and I'm for that, you know that. You can wear a nice suit. You can stay out, but still be worldly tonight. You know, most people sitting in church, especially young people that's been raised in church, but it's true about adults as well, worldliness don't get them on the dance floor. Don't get them down at the bar. It gets them right here first. They start wanting to leave here before they ever get out there. In fact, a man of God can see that. You can see it in people's eyes, that dread. There's one or two of y'all here tonight, it's written all over your face while I'm preaching. You say, "Man, I don't know that preacher, but I'll be glad when he goes back to Georgia. I don't like that kind." You may not like this kind of preaching. But I'm just telling you tonight, if you really love Jesus and you want to please Jesus, you're going to have to die to this world. And it ain't just today. It's not just tomorrow. It's got to be the principle that you live by. Because listen, the world never gives up tonight. The world is the enemy of God. And whosoever is a friend of this world is the enemy of God. Tonight, the world is one of the three greatest enemies that we have. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You know why it's so important we die to this world? Because I'm going to tell you why. If we don't die to this world, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The world and my flesh will team up together against me tonight. I'm no match for either one of them. I'm telling you, this stuff tonight that is wrapped around our soul and our spirit is as capable of doing everything after you get saved that it was capable of doing before you got saved. And tonight I wonder, have you died to the world? You said, Brother Gradley, why would I want to die to the world? Keep you focused, right? You want to live for God? Die to this world. You want to have victory in your Christian life? Die to this world. Let it be the principle of your life. It can't just be today. It's got to be from here on out. You got to live by that principle. Things will come up in your life often. I told you about them baseball cards. I'm going to say this and be done. It wasn't 4 years ago. I was walking through Pigeon Forge with my wife. And we passed a card shop. That's been 30-something years ago that I gave them cards up. And we walked through that card shop. And I told her, I said, let's go in here. I said, I ain't seen these baseball cards in a long time. I said, I'm just going to look. Amen. I said, we're just going to look. Brother Joe, I walked through there. The more I looked, the more I wanted. And I looked at them. And I'm telling you, the prices of cards when I was a kid, the era that I collected in, and the price they are now, they plummeted. I mean, a card that would have cost $100 back when I was a kid, because they've changed the whole trading system, now you can get that same card for like $20. And I'm walking through there and I'm looking through all those. Man, I've seen cards that I wanted as a kid, but didn't have no money to get them. I hate confessing to Baptists, amen. I feel like I'm before the Sanhedrin right now. Like y'all don't have any problems, amen, but I'm just going to tell you mine. And I stood in that card shop long enough till I had convinced myself that it's 30-something years later. I conquered that 30 years ago. Well, it's okay for me to collect a few cards right now. And I bought a box of 1984 Tops, a set, had Don Mattingly's rookie card in it. And I bought that box. And you know, God has to have a sense of humor, because He let me go through that whole thing. And I bought that box of cards. I walked out, and as soon as I got out the door, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, what in the world do you think you're doing? You ever had God talk to you like that? And I walked down, boy, I'm telling you, talk about condemned. I'm just talking about dying to the world. The flesh never gives up. And the Lord said, what in the world do you think you're doing? I put them in the car and I went to, and all the way down to the house. The Lord said, so that's what we're doing now? I know y'all more spiritual. He said, so we're bringing that idol back after 30 years? I thought, that ain't God. That's my wife sitting over there looking at me with a judgmental attitude is what that is. You know? She never said a word. Don't you hate it when your wife don't say nothing? And you think she ought to say something, but she don't. Silence is deafening at times. And I'm going down through there. I get almost to the house, and I said, well, I probably shouldn't have bought them cards. As soon as I said that, she said, well, you know you shouldn't have bought them. She said, God don't change His mind, does He? I was like, shut up, woman. Amen. No, I didn't say that. But I tell you what, I gave them to her. And I said, I'm gonna try to sell them. I mean, I was gonna sell them for $20. I couldn't sell them for nothing, nothing. She said, what'd you do with them? I threw them in the trash. I was out. I'm gonna tell you how much. Well, I'll tell you, I was out $40-something. You never win when you listen to the flesh. Now, I'd rather been shot as tell you that tonight, but I have to tell you that because that's what God wants me to say. I told you that to you after 30-something years, the flesh, if it still can, it will tonight. It's a principle. It has to be. Just because you conquered something for 30 years, don't think for 1 second the flesh won't go right back to it, given a chance tonight. The world never gives up. The flesh never gives up. You know what's killing our churches tonight? Worldliness. You come up and told me about that book. I said, well, I'm sure interested in that book now. We got a lot of people sitting in our churches tonight. Some probably need to be saved, but there's a lot of people sitting in our churches that are saved. They've just never died to this world. And as preachers, we're trying to get them to live for God and love God and serve God, and they're still holding hands with the world tonight. Hey, young man, young lady, you know what? There's no telling what God could do with your life if you'll just be dead to this world.
Amen.
And say, I'm going to live for God. Let's stand tonight as we come get a song ready. The focus of the man of God, he was dead to this world. I ask you tonight, while our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, is there anything in your life tonight that you just need to die to? You don't have to tell me what it would be or anybody else, but if there's something tonight you need to die to, you ought to die out to it tonight. If there's something tonight that would hinder you from being filled with the Holy Spirit, then tonight you ought to just lay it on this altar. There's no shame in that tonight, and just being honest. You don't have to come, but if you need to come, you ought to come tonight. Our dear brother's going to lead us in this song. What page, brother? 366. While we sing, you obey the Lord tonight.